Well, my bad, Tommaso. We're back. I'm having fun this morning. It's not Tommaso's fault. It's me. Okay. We're back to Timothy. And remember, Paul wrote this. He's out of prison, and Timothy was his good sidekick. They did missionary stuff together, and particularly helping with the church at Ephesus is where he's writing to him right now. And we've gone through the book of Timothy, five chapters, and in those five chapters, we've gone over the focus has been guard the gospel, pray the gospel, what the gospel leaders look like, elders. And Timothy yourself, you know, you don't only pick good leaders and you guard the gospel and you pray it out. You yourself have to be spiritually fit and be gospel fit. Gospel honor is what we ended up with right before I went on holiday, summer break. And just a reminder, gospel honor involves we treat each other like beloved family. So I honor you who are older than me as my father or mother, and you are younger than me as my brother and sister. So treat each other like beloved family. But also we're to honor widows who are truly widows. If you're without a husband to take care of you and to help you and you don't have any source of income whatsoever, those people in the early church and even in today's church should be the first one on our list of benevolence and to take care of. And so we honor widows who are truly widows. And we honor church elders and particularly those who preach and teach. We honor employers and masters, those who we work for. We are to honor them, whether they're believers or not believers. And that's what we looked at in Timothy 5. Boy, this thing's a little quick. My head, finger, thumb's heavy. Fighting the good fight of faith is where we're at today, 1 Timothy 6. I remember little Alex last week said he experienced steak for the first time this summer. Little boy that said it's the first time he ate steak. Maybe he's had beef, you know, sliced and all these Chinese dishes, but first time to eat steak. Well, today's sermon is pretty steak. We're getting some heavy food here today, guys, so I hope you'll bear with me. It's a lot of scripture, and yet I think you're going to find a lot of meat here that will make you and I stronger in the Lord, and may it be delicious to our spiritual life. Let's pray and ask God's help again once more. And so, Lord, as Norman prayed, have mercy on me, a sinner. I think we all said, yeah, amen. We echo that. And I need Holy Spirit now to come and make these words real for me and real for my friends here. And we pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, who always fight for us, who always love us. We belong to you. And it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. So fight the good fight of faith. That's found in 1 Timothy 6, beginning with verse 3 through 21, that honoring your masters was in the first two verses of chapter 6. But we're going to get to fight the good fight, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 21. And in your bulletin, there was a little green handout. If not, maybe you got the Bible on your phone or iPad. You can follow along. Fight the good fight, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 21. Well, first of all, we're told to fight false teachers in verse 3 through 5. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Long time ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he confronted the Pharisees, says, "You search the scriptures as if you're trying to find eternal life, but they're the what testify about me, and you refuse to come to me to get eternal life." And so any doctrine that is not Christ's focus is something we need to fight against. And there's a lot of people who on the surface will say, yes, we're Christians, but you look more carefully at what is being preached and taught is not a focus on Christ. It's a focus on other things. Continuing on, verse 4, he has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people. who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So just a summary, if we summarize these verses, it's not a focus on Christ. Conceited and without knowledge. They're acting like they got the secret insights into the scriptures, knowledge of God, but they don't have anything, and they're conceited. But they have love word fights. They love controversy. In actual Greek words, it just breaks it down really clearly. They love word fights. Have you ever known anybody like that, just likes to argue? Well, sometimes they're in the churches, and I knew a fellow who liked to argue scripture all the time. And least little thing, he was arguing. He wasn't Christ-focused, conceited. Without knowledge, none of that fellow wasn't. But he loved to fight. And I didn't like to sit down and talk to him about the Bible because he loved to fight. We're not to be like that. And that's what we're to fight against. The product of such people, such teachers, is division within the church. Division within the fellowship. They imagine monetary gain and godliness go hand in hand. In other words, if I am really godly, then I am going to be blessed. If I do the right godly things, then I am going to have a materially blessed life. There are some people today who preach that there are no poor prophets of God. Sometimes we refer to that as the prosperity gospel. So if you're interested in how to identify false teachers, SO4J.com. Check it out, okay? SO4J, sold out for Jesus. I think that's what that stands for. SO4J.com. And Jesus warned us, it quotes from Matthew 24, that there's many false prophets who will rise up and deceive many. Yeah, I'm not here to put up a list. I might later on share something with you, but the main emphasis is the focus has to be on Christ. And when it leaves from being focusing on Him to just quarreling about words, and in chapter 1 when Timothy was warned, what did they do? They said, abstain from marriage. Don't eat certain foods, and then you will experience godliness. But no, godliness comes through faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect obedient one. He is the one who sacrificed Himself, the obedient servant, so that you and I can be accepted before God. And that's faith in Him and His works alone that saves us. That's what Romans tells us, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that word is clearly that the righteousness of God comes through faith alone in Christ Jesus. And none of this other stuff about Christ doesn't exist for you and I to prosper materially. Fight for true gain. Now, this is what we got to look at. You got some guys talking about false gain, you know, for materials. Well, what is true gain? But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. What was the, Rockefeller was asked, his accountant was asked when Rockefeller died. He said, how much did FD leave behind? He said, all of it. You can't take it with you, guys. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember, Paul said in Philippians 4, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And we often use that verse. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. You know, I'm gonna do well in this competition. I'm gonna do well in my work. I'm gonna be a great parent. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But in the context of Philippians, and in this context of contentment, we're talking about being content with what we got. Now, it doesn't mean to be complacent. to share this story. I don't know if anybody will want to come over to my house, but anybody ever have these little roaches in their house in DB? Am I the only one? Paul Cooley, bless you, Brent. We have a few confessions. But it's a continuous battle and war, you know. So I'm just not content. I got these little critters running around. I'm going to keep fighting them, find out where they're staying, spraying them, and do whatever I got to do to fight roaches. But I'm not going to say I need to go back to the United States and live in a home that's free of cockroaches. And I was in the States for a whole month, and I didn't see one cockroach. Open the door, and there's one saying hello to me when I come back to DB. That's not what I'm talking about. Godliness with contentment. I know the richest gain I have. We sing it every Sunday in so many different ways in our songs. Christ is the beautiful one. He is so wonderful in this place, but he is what makes me who I am, and I know where I'm going. I've got all the riches. Yeah? Sometimes we got to work on our flats, we got to work on our homes and take care of them, maintenance and all that, yeah. And then you have, before you start out with one little one, you got three or four little ones, then you got may think about getting a little larger place. That's fine. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And you can have a lot of nice things and still want more and more and more, and it's no true gain there. So fight for true gain, fight these false prophets and fight for true gain. What's the opposite of true gain? False gain. Okay, that's a tricky one, huh? Okay, false gain. Love of money, desire to be rich. Love of money, desire to be rich. Now, if you have a business and you want to see your business expand or services industry, you want to see it expand, that's fine. That's okay. But we're looking at the love and the desire. If what is in your heart is just chasing after money all the time, that's not true gain. But those who desire to be rich fall. They fall. My poor little dog Annie's getting old. She's 16 years old now. And bless her heart, she can barely move. And so she just falls all over the place here and there, and it's kind of hard to watch, but she's still mobile, but she falls. But look what you fall if you desire to be rich. You fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So this false gain is this desire to be rich, and you're chasing it, and this desires overwhelm you, and it only end up in destruction. So we fight for true gain and not false gain. So when you think about fighting the good fight of faith, you got to fight against false teachers, you got to fight for true gain, and then you got to fight like a man or woman of God. Not like an Australian, not like a South African or Canadian. Australian. Or American. No, you fight like a man or woman of God. Okay. Are there any men or women of God here today? Would you please stand? Just stand, stretch your legs anyway. All right. You're not alone, all right? Look at this. There's all these men and women of God here. Okay. Praise him. Okay, you can sit down. Sit down. This one, some of you are going to sleep there. Just want to wake you up. Usually in Scripture when we talk about a man of God, we talk about people like Moses, David, Elijah, these prophets of old. Paul's going to call Timothy a man of God, but I want you to know that those of you who have placed your faith and your trust in the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, raised from the dead, and gives you life by His Spirit and promises to resurrect you and bring you to heaven, those of you who are men and women of God, these words apply to you and me as well. But as for you, O man of God, O person of God, flee these things, the love of money, the desire to become rich, flee these things. but pursue. Run hard after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Now, we could dissect each one of those words and actually preach a whole sermon on just this one verse. But we don't love money, okay? We run away from that. We're not going to let that control us. But don't act like you're not tempted, okay? Because I know I'm tempted, and you are tempted as well. So don't act like you don't have this kind of love thing, this desire can be there. You got to run from it. Recognize it when it sticks its head out at you, you know, and it says, yeah, you need to buy a new car when you retire, James.
New TV.
New TV as well, yeah. I just signed a contract with Now. Don't get too close. You know, I shared that with my colleague Evelyn, and she looked at me, what? You pay that much money? But you gotta watch out. You know, love for money is knocking around the door, desiring to get more and more money. Don't let that get in your way of what? Contentment with godliness. Pursue righteousness, godliness, there's that word again, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. If you look at this list, I hope you see that it shouts the Lord Jesus. It is nothing but who Jesus is. He is the righteous one. He is the godlike one. He is the one full of faith. He is the one full of love. He is the steadfast one. And Paul's going to even talk about him, how he stayed steadfast when even under interrogation by Pilate. And he's gentle. Standing for truth, standing for what is right, but gentle with those who might not understand, for those who might be without faith, without love, etc. So in other words, pursue Christ's likeness. Pursue Christ himself. So fight like a man or woman of God. Don't be satisfied with anything else in your life to become more like Christ, to know him more and more. God's people fight smart. I was in the gym yesterday and trying to work out. It's pretty hot yesterday. You know, yesterday was the hottest day on record for 130 years. That's what I read on the observatory this morning. But anyway, God's people fight smart. And so while I was exercising yesterday in an air-conditioned gym, they had this movie on called Muhammad Ali. And if you remember Muhammad Ali, he was before Pac-Man and Mayweather and all those guys, right? So anyway, a great fighter. He started out, his name as Cassius Clay. But he knew how to fight smart. He knew how to keep his opponent, who was very powerful and strong. He'd just run around in circles and make him chase and throw his punches in the air. But he knew how to go in. He knew how to get out. Okay, God's people fight smart. And by that, we flee from the love of money. We pursue Christ. And then finally, we're looking at, we take hold of eternal life. And that's in verses 12 through 16. Let's look and see what that looks like. Take hold of eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, we don't know if this confession is regards to Timothy's ordination, or is it when he was baptized, when he first made his profession of faith among different people, seeing it and hearing it. It says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. James, Tommaso, Katie, Deepak, when Jesus called me and he called you to himself, he said, yeah, I want to be your God and Savior. You know what? And you got eternal life, right? You're called to heaven. So take hold of that. And so when you were baptized and you make profession of faith, I took hold of the eternal life. This lady's got it somehow. What does that look like, getting a hold of eternal life? Well, we're told in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God, not just knowing him intellectually, but experientially. And that's where we get in that passage about being born again. in John chapter 3. What does that really mean? It goes beyond just knowledge about, but becoming a living being in Christ. You got it, okay? Now you've got that. You who profess faith in Christ, you have it. Don't let go of it. Hold on to it. Just like that lady who's kind of holding on to that blue thing and just having a great time flying through the air. It's not like I got to hold on to it and then suffer through life. Well, yep, there is going to be suffering here. It also should be a bit of joy because you know where you're headed. And continue on. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What commandments could he be talking about? That's kind of a mystery to me, but as I unpacked it in the context, it's the commandment to fight the good fight. Jesus did it, and he kept doing the good fight. So you and I who are Christians, we got a lot of on us in our plate, which Christ tries to show us how to live on earth. But one of them is fight the good fight. Okay. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. My daughter Ruth is an artist, and she's yet to paint a picture of Christ's return for me. But I don't really, I want to show that in just a minute. Let me go on verse 15, 16. Which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Holding on to eternal life means you've got to hold on to what's coming. Christ coming in his glory. And just trying to get us focused back. You know, the world seems like a mess, right? I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff, and Norman was bringing that out in his prayer, and it just breaks your heart to see it. The planet's sick. People are sick. There's all kinds of craziness and evil. But hold on to eternal life, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Sovereign One is going to come back. There is a one who's ruling, and he sees what's going on. And judgment is coming. As well as a new heaven and a new earth. Back to Ruth. Ruth, I don't know, sometime you got to help me. This is one of the better ones I found. You probably don't like it. I don't really like it that much. But you know, it's this glorious return, and you can see the city over there. I think that's Hong Kong Island. Not many people resurrecting over there. Over here on Lantau, we're all coming out of the grave. But anyway, that's the city over there. But to make a long story short, keep in mind there's something grand other than this artist, just get away from that art. There's something grand that's waiting. And this is kind of scary and it's kind of happy at the same time, right? Because when the Holy One appears, there's going to be judgment, and those who don't know Christ don't get to go to heaven. And so that's why our job is to announce the gospel. And the Holy Spirit will open hearts, and people's responses will be positive. There will be some who will be saved. And sometimes you get into certain periods and there's a lot of people. Clarification is needed. And verse 17 through 19. As for the rich in this present age, and that's everyone in this room, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Don't be haughty, and don't have your hope set on your bank account or on how much you can earn this year and put away and use later on. No, or in your investments. But put your hope on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. True life is sharing your wealth. So summary on rich people, if you will. Don't be haughty. Don't be prideful. Place your hope in God, the provider. not in your past or future investments or your nest egg you've been putting away. Be generous and do good works. So how do we put our money to work now for His name's sake? We're generous. I was staying with a man named Jesse Johnson. Jesse is big into propane energy and changing motors and cars and trucks and stuff to propane energy. He thinks it's a very good gas to use, and he's very big in that industry. And he was telling me about his boss in Mississippi, who had this beautiful office building. Antebellum Civil War office and everything. It's just a beautiful place to go to. But he said every Thursday at 12 o'clock he would eat lunch with the village, I guess it's not the graceful word to say, the village idiot, okay? he had some mental problems and he wandered around all the time and everybody would say hello to him. He knew everybody in this little city in, Jackson, Mississippi's not that little, but anyway, he knew everybody around there. But this man, who was the boss, would meet with this guy, and he would give him $20 U.S. After every lunch. And it doesn't matter who was there. If they were international board members there, he would say, "I'm sorry, I got to interrupt the meeting. I got an appointment at 12," and he'd go talk to this fellow. And one time, Jesse asked him. He said, "Why do you do this? I don't understand. You know, he's not in his right head, and you do this regular." And he said, "Well, I found out that this man is actually very brilliant, and his friendship brings me right back down to earth, and keeps me from being haughty." So think about it. Can you talk to anybody, no matter what plane they're on? It might be a middle plane that's a little different than ours. It might be socioeconomically they're different. Don't be haughty. Place your hope in God the provider. Be generous and do good works. And my experience with people who love the Lord Jesus and have a lot of money, they're very, very kind. They're very giving and helping and supportive. The church has to watch out that sometimes they don't abuse such a relationship. But be generous and do good works. So for many of us in this room, we do have wealth, and God is calling us not to be haughty, but place your hope in Him and be generous and do good works. The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. Some of us have studied this and had small groups. It's a great book if you want to read about storing up your treasures in heaven. He's got his subtitles as Unlocking the Secret of Joyful Giving. Do you like to give, or is it kind of like paying your church bill, you know? Wow. I got to give, I guess. But Sandy and Martin were saying how at a church they visited in Australia, they were singing what a privilege it is to give. And how do you get to that? From, I got to pay my tithe, I guess, to it's a privilege and a joy. Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn is a helpful little book. The final word, stay vigilant. This personal word note to O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. So again, the final word is, look, Timothy, keep grace-centered. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Pursue Christ. Don't let the love of money get in your way. Okay, well, what does this have to do with you and I? Let's get to some application. We're going to fight false teachers. We're going to fight for true gain. Flee love of money. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Christ. We're going to take hold of eternal life. We're going to keep in view the end game. Anybody have any family members or friends die this summer? I had one. It's coming for you. It's coming for me. I don't want to scare you, but it is. So keep hold of eternal life. Keep in view the end game. Okay, preaching for the money. Now, some of these people you may recognize. I'm not going to name them one by one. But again, if you want to see some of their ministries and how they spend their money, again, go back to this guy, so4j.com, and he'll help you look at it. False teachers, how to recognize them. They're there, and they want your money. And when you hear people ask for that seed money so that you might get more money, that's a false teacher. Okay. Okay, false teachers is one thing, but you and I personally are another thing. Are we running after this? Is this all we think about? Four questions for you. I put this in the first person, because when I ask a question, I don't want you to think I'm saying, well, how about you? Are you content with what you have? I got to ask me, okay? Maybe I should say, are we, all right? Let's do it that way. Are we content with what we have? Are we content with what we earn? Again, contentment isn't complacency. I know some of you have had to take cuts in pay because of different things that are happening in the financial world today. And yet there's a contentment. And I would call you out by name, but I don't want to embarrass you. I'm content with what I earn. Are we content with what we earn? Are we generous to those in need? But do ask this in the first person to yourself. Am I, James, am I generous to those in need? And finally, do I love Christ more than money? Okay, fight the good fight of faith. Look out for false teachers. Fight for true gain, and beware of this love for money. Don't let it sneak its head in and get a hold of your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and it's very practical to Timothy, wanting him to be a good pastor, but it also alerts us as individual members of a local church what a local church should keep as central is the gospel, and to be a people who are aware that there are false teachers, be a people who pray that the gospel would advance. And as we look today, is not to let pursuit of money become our God, but to be pursuing you, Lord Jesus, your righteousness, your godliness, your faith and love, your steadfastness and your gentleness. Father, I thank you for forgiving us of our sins. You know where I failed this week in this regard, and we're all of us are tempted in different ways. But we want to be good men and women of God who really know how to fight smart. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, keep us aware, even this week, even some big decisions, little decisions, whatever we're making, may we do so as with you. And we pray in Christ's name, amen.